This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is February, and it is Heart Month. We're going to be talking about our hearts today with some folks from Geisinger Health System who deal with this every day, both on the prevention side and on the treatment side. Let's begin with the most encouraging fact you can share about cardiac care today, compared to 20 or 30 years ago, what we know now. I know you address prevention a lot, and that may be where that question would take you.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for having us on. My name's George Ruiz. I'm the chief of cardiology at Geisinger, and I'm here with my great friend, Caroline DeRichmond. Hey, Caroline, you want to say hi?
Hi, everybody. I am a nurse practitioner, and I'm a board-certified clinical lipid specialist and a fellow of the National Lipid Association. And I'm here in the lipid clinic throughout Geisinger Health System.
And listen, we're really excited to try to bring a message of heart health to all of your listeners during Heart Month. As you know, Matt, the heart really sits at the center of the circulatory system. It is a pump. That's what the heart does. It fills with blood and pushes blood forward. And in order to do that, it needs energy. And it gets that energy through the blood flow that it receives through these arteries that are called the coronary arteries. Now, you may think this is crazy, but us sitting here just having this conversation, the heart is pumping about 5 liters of blood flow per minute. If you had an Olympic athlete trying to win the gold medal somewhere or like really pushing themselves, it could be 20 liters a minute. And so in order to do this great job, it needs a constant supply of energy. And it gets that energy through the blood that comes to it in the coronary arteries. These coronary arteries are like the size of spaghettis. And as time goes on, they can become diseased. And disease in those arteries can limit blood flow to the heart muscle. And when blood flow is limited to the heart muscle can't do its job. And so a lot of what we do day to day, Caroline and I, is we treat people who already have disease in these arteries. So we really wanted to get a message out to people about how to prevent that disease from happening altogether. And it's interesting because I'll tell you that Caroline actually is one of the folks who works on prevention with me. She manages my lipids to make sure that my heart arteries stay open. So I think we can start by telling folks about what the risk factors, the traditional risk factors are for coronary disease, because that's important for people to know. If they don't know, then they can't modify them. The first is family history. And it's important for people to ask in their family, does heart disease run in their family? And typically for me, I get red lights and flags if a male younger than 55 or a female younger than 65 has had cardiovascular disease. The second is hypertension. High blood pressure really damages these arteries, followed by high cholesterol levels. And then other comorbidities such as diabetes can also damage the arteries. One very major one is smoking. Smoking can really wreak havoc on these coronary arteries and lead to cholesterol buildup. And the thing that you originally asked, like, where are we going? We have amazing ability to treat heart disease once it happens, but specifically with prevention, we now have the ability to see into the walls of these arteries like never before. It used to be that we would use tests like stress tests to infer whether people had blockages. But now with advanced imaging, such as cardiac CT, we can actually see these spaghetti string arteries and look into the walls and see cholesterol that's built up in those walls. And that really opens our eyes to the risks that we cannot see. And so when we see that, folks like Caroline and I are really focused on trying to mitigate those risks and trying to reduce the cholesterol, keep blood pressure good, keep people in a lean body mass so that their sugars are okay, tell them to avoid smoking, all the things that we normally do. And that's why I'm excited to talk to Caroline as well today, because she focuses a lot on keeping those arteries healthy.
Caroline, give us some idea of how you approach perhaps a new patient coming in. You know, are people thrown by the information, or are we kind of in the place now that we know that, yeah, I'm not supposed to have high cholesterol or smoke, but Do you tend to find people like learning a lot? Is there a big learning curve?
Oh, absolutely. They learn so much when they come to the lipid clinic. And first and foremost, George has already highlighted, knowing your family's history is very important. And today, Matt, children are universally screened ages 9 to 11, then 14 to 17. The exception being if someone's adopted or if there's a parent or grandparent with an inherited disorder, they're checked at age 2. Because George and I are seeing these adults, and as he mentioned, you know, younger and younger each year, women in the United States were seeing less than age 55. So when I see a patient, it's not only the patient, it's their family to educate them and to try to discern if they have any inherited disorders. But looking at the basic lipid panel, there's three key pieces. The LDL, the lousy lethal cholesterol, really is the chief involved with making these plaques and blockages. We are born with an LDL of 25 milligrams per deciliter. For optimal cardiovascular health without any other health problems, it should be 100 milligrams per deciliter or less. If you have diabetes and coronary disease, we'll push that number down to 55 milligrams per deciliter. That's the one you want to target to make sure we get that down. The HDL is the high healthy cholesterol. The HDL is responsible for gathering bad particles and bringing them back to the liver to be processed. The more active you are, the higher they are. We have no drugs for that. And their job is to be your police, fire department, and National Guard. And then finally, the triglycerides. They come from everything we know and love. Cookies, candies, baked goods, booze, carbohydrates, and breads. The triglycerides should be less than 150. When the triglycerides are above that, insulin resistance is turned on. The body holds on to blood sugar, and it can tell us that diabetes is coming from that panel. So the key is to know where you should be. And there's several ways. Of course, the cornerstone is a lifestyle modification that you eat well. Focus on each meal having a protein, vegetables, and fresh fruit. Activity, even if you have a Fitbit on, that you get your steps in every day and maybe set the next week for another 1,000 steps. To keep yourself active. You don't necessarily have to go to a gym. If you have that access, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You have arthritis, you can do exercises in the chair to keep yourself active. And medicines. We have statins, and there's a lot of misbeliefs about statin medicines over the years. They think it's going to make you senile. They think it's going to cramp. You're definitely going to cramp. And some people can't tolerate those drugs. And most likely what we find is we need to help them find the right one to help them. And there's a whole lot of non-statins now available. Many of them are pills and some of them are shots. Many people have heard of the shots. They're PCSK9 inhibitors. They've been out 10 years. But they can help these people that have early disease, aggressive disease. And there are even some family members. We can get them treated before they have an event. Yes. That's the most important thing. It's the family, it's the community here in Northeastern PA.
I did want to ask a bit about the medications. Obviously, every human body is going to be different. So are there people for whom the medicines are almost necessary from the start?
Sure. Many of my patients have been on statin drugs since they were 8 years old. And there's some people that were on ezetimibe, which is a non-statin, even at age 2 or 3 because of inherited problems and early heart disease.
Now, I've heard a lot about statins and joint problems, knees. Has that been rectified by these other drugs? Is that something that we can kind of avoid now with the newer medications?
Well, first of all, we usually check the vitamin D level because that's the main culprit. You lose vitamin D when you have coronary disease, when you have obesity, when you have diabetes, when you have triglycerides that are so high. It just wipes you out of there. And there are different statins. Some are water soluble, some are non-water soluble. There's 7 of them that are available to us currently. And it's like I said, everybody doesn't wear the same size shoe. We'll just have to modify what's right for you. It stabilizes the plaque that's been developing because of their risk factors. In other words, it puts another roof onto that plaque so it doesn't take off and cause a heart attack. That's what's important.
And Matt, just to dovetail on what Caroline is saying for the listeners to understand this, if you think of these arteries as highways that are delivering the blood to the heart muscle, think about it as a three-lane highway. The cholesterol can accumulate in the shoulder of that highway. And that's what's called a plaque. So it's like when you're driving on 80 or 81, you see this stuff that's on the side of the road. And you know that if that stuff got into one of the lanes, it would cause trouble. And that's what happens in these heart arteries. The cholesterol, because the artery was damaged, they will start to develop these cholesterol plaques in the shoulder. And then they will start to encroach on the travel lanes. And as they encroach into the travel lanes, then the flow to the heart muscle is limited. And that's what causes symptoms. So what we want to do, what Caroline and I want to do, is keep the garbage on the shoulders. We don't want it to get into the travel lanes. And so in order to do this, we try to minimize the amount of cholesterol that's in that wall of the artery, and we use these medications to get there. So the first step, I think, would be awareness, understanding your risk factors, understanding your family history. If you haven't had your cholesterol checked, go get it checked, get your blood pressure checked. These are things that we can actually address and modify. The second, once you have that awareness, is action. That's the second A, is once you know what your lipid panel is, are there ways we can optimize it? And what you're hearing from Caroline is that it's not 1985.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of options. And the role that we play is to find the right option for you. The one that keeps the stuff in the shoulders of the highway, the blood flowing through. We need to find the right option for you.
Sounds like that planning ahead is the main key to this.
Absolutely. And listen, if I want to take the analogy one step further, believe it or not, nowadays with CT scans, we can actually see the road. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like a GPS where, like, if you know that I'm driving from Dallas, PA to Danville, I want to plug it in and it'll tell me, oh, there's slow traffic here or there's an accident there. With CAT scans now, in a non-invasive way, we can actually look at the wall and see how much stuff is in the shoulders of that highway. And if there's a lot, then it certainly motivates folks like Caroline and I to use those amazing medications that we have to reduce the cholesterol so that everything stays in the shoulder. And so that's what we're trying to get through to people. And in particular, I would emphasize, especially if they're women that are listening, they are really the cornerstone of getting all these things treated. It's important that they have awareness, because I find, and Caroline, correct me if I'm wrong, that women really drive the healthcare for the families.
Yeah.
Men will often just sit back, and I blame myself for doing this as well. We'll sit back and we'll wait until something horrible is going on before we show up. Women have a very proactive approach to this. And that's why, if there are women that are listening, I would say, figure this out for yourself and then help us figure this out for your family.
Be the maven for your family. And women, I just want to throw out there to all you women, we are seeing women under the age of 55 with heart disease and heart attacks here. And that's scary. And also, right now, only 1 out of 10 women in the United States that are pregnant have optimal cardiovascular health going into the pregnancy.
Hmm.
And also, I take care of a lot of young adults who are planning pregnancies that have dyslipidemia or lipid problems. And it's best to get that under control before the pregnancy.
Now, I was just going to say, we've seen, Americans as a whole getting larger over the years. But has the new knowledge of prevention helped to mitigate that a bit?
Oh, I think so. You know, once these folks learn what is happening with this lipid panel, that they've become diabetic, they're higher risk for heart disease, and we've pulled it all together for them, many of them become compliant.
And Matt, to connect the dots for you, and I think for the listeners as well, all of these things that you're talking about, that we're talking about, are interconnected. Mm-hmm. They are all part of one
disease process. So if you do not have an ideal body mass, if you're overweight, it increases your risk of developing other issues, such as if you're overweight, it increases your risk of developing diabetes. If you develop diabetes, then you have high levels of sugar inside those arteries that can damage the arteries. And that can lead to the blockages that we talked about. If you are overweight, it can lead to sleep apnea, issues with difficulty sleeping, which can lead to high blood pressure, which damages the arteries. Okay. And then if you throw on top of that a few other things like alcohol intake that's excessive, that can lead to higher blood pressure. And so you can see how these things start actually working together to create a gang of problems that really wreak havoc on the heart and the heart arteries. And so what we try to do is help people understand how all these pieces are actually connected. And then we try to address the underlying issues. And that's why, believe it or not, Matt, a lot of people now are saying, hey, look, your weight is off, you have high blood pressure, you have evidence of some cholesterol buildup in your arteries already. Should we start considering, for example, using for high-risk patients medications to help them lose weight or get them on an exercise regimen, obviously, and see if they can do that, and then consider these medications? Our thinking is moving more towards managing how to get this gang disbanded. And that gang is definitely, being overweight is one of the elements that connects all of these players. This is particularly important in women as they age, because their bodies change, the hormonal environment in their bodies change, and that can lead to changes in all sorts of other challenges, including their cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Caroline knows a lot about that.
When women are premenopausal, the triglycerides go up, and the HDL, the high healthy, starts going down. And that's where you end up, where you see a lot of women will end up gaining weight because of that metabolic change within the hormones. And it's an opportunistic time for us as healthcare providers to make sure that awareness is there. They can change their diet, become more active, lower the carbs, lower the sugars, because pre-diabetes can be reversed. And then once women go into menopause, the LDL, the lousy lethal, goes up and the HDL goes down more. It's not only the estrogen, but it's the follicle stimulating hormone that these changes are happening. But now we know it, and if we can guide women through that, lower their cardiovascular risk by getting their lipids under control.
You know, heart attacks, heart disease does happen, but give us just, a quick look at what people should be looking for. I mean, it's, and I understand it can be huge differences between what men are feeling and what women are feeling that sends them to the ER.
Yes. Well, Matt, thank you for that. And this is a very important topic. If we go back to that mental analogy, that picture of the highway, if you have plaque that's in the shoulder and it starts encroaching on the lanes, you can, and in some cases, that cholesterol plaque ruptures, then you can form a blood clot where that cholesterol plaque is. So essentially, it's a traffic accident in that highway. And I don't know about you, Matt, but I've sat on Route 80 behind a truck accident for a long time. And that's what happens in a heart attack. In the artery that feeds the tissue, there is a traffic accident inside of that artery, and the flow cannot get to the heart tissue. And as a result of that, Matt, that heart muscle dies. That's why people feel that chest discomfort. And if the heart muscle dies, then that heart muscle can't participate in the act of pumping blood. So the heart becomes weaker, and patients can end up with symptoms of what we call heart failure, where the heart cannot support the body. Preventing this from happening, oh man, that's number one. But if it does happen, like an accident on Route 80, our goal is to try to move the accident as quickly as we can to reestablish the flow of blood. And that we do today in many of our Geisinger hospitals in the cardiac cath lab, where patients will show up, we diagnose that they're having a heart attack based on their EKG and their symptoms. We can also look into the blood to see if the blood is leaching out chemicals that suggest that there's heart damage. And they get immediately taken to the cath lab. And then this is crazy to say, Matt, but through the arteries in the wrist, we are able to guide very thin wires and tubes, position them at the mouth of the heart arteries, and then put a wire and a balloon where the traffic accident is, where the plaque is, and push it to the sides, reestablishing flow. This is crazy. From the wrist, we can do this. And this actually helps people live longer and saves heart muscle. You're absolutely right, too, that men and women can present differently. Although most of the time, men and women do present with either shortness of breath or chest discomfort, but women sometimes can present with atypical symptoms. They can come in with jaw discomfort or back discomfort. And that's why if they notice that they're having this discomfort pretty repeatedly, especially when they're doing exertion, when they're moving, they need to ask, hey, do you think these could be signs of blockages in my heart arteries? Could these be signs of an early heart attack? That's important for them to be clued in.
Any other thoughts from either of you?
Well, I think the bottom line here is know your family history, know your lipids. We talked about today how you should have lipids tested in childhood and you can see them change over time. And know your risk factors, especially the ones that you can change. You have control of that.
And what I'd say to your audience is, number one, thank you for having us. And thank you for letting us bring this message of heart health. I agree with Caroline. Knowing your risk factors is really the first step. Family history. Do you have high blood pressure? Do you have diabetes? Do you have high cholesterol? Do you smoke? If you have those, visit with your physician so that we can try to address these risk factors and get rid of them. Number two, exercise on a regular basis, 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. I did it this morning, Matt. I got on the elliptical. I sweat a good amount of time. I would encourage folks to do it. And walking is an amazing exercise, right? If you're at work, take the steps if you can, instead of like the elevator. If you're at the supermarket, don't park in the produce section. Park farther out and walk in. You know, take advantages day to day for you to exercise. The next is to avoid smoking. If there's one thing that the people can do on this podcast to improve their cardiovascular health, is stop smoking. And if you know someone that you love and believe in, get them to stop smoking. Tell them how much you love them and that they should really think about stopping.
And do it together.
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 Like we're doing now.
Yeah.
We're just together. And then the last is I would tell the folks listening, is find ways to manage your stress. This is an important piece of it because the mind and the heart are connected. So find things that you absolutely love to do, whether that's volunteering in your communities to make it better, whether that's combining exercise and things you like to do, like dancing, for example, or sports with people that you love. Find ways to reduce your stress. Your heart will thank you.
All righty. My wife's great uncle, who passed away a year or so ago, said he quit smoking at 40 because he didn't like the price hikes, but he lived to 99. So there must be something to it, right?
Yes. Well, no doubt. And listen, I will tell you, if you go figure out what a pack of cigarettes costs now, it's not cheap. It's certainly not cheap.
Matt, I have one patient. Every year he comes to see me, puts a picture in front of me of him and his wife, because the day I convinced him to stop smoking, he started putting money away for each of what he would have spent on cigarettes, and he takes his wife on vacation with that money.
That's amazing.
That's a classic husband move there. That's great.
Yeah.
We're super excited. Thank you for having us on the show.
Thank you so much. And we do hope you have learned a lot as well on today's WPGM Community Forum with the Chief of Cardiology at Geisinger, Dr. George Ruiz, and Caroline DeRichmond, a nurse practitioner and clinical lipid specialist at Geisinger. As always, our programs are on the archives on our website, After the Fact. So if you would like to listen to this again or recommend it to someone that could benefit, we appreciate you passing the information along. We thank you for joining us on the WPGM Community Forum. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.